Speakable items is ready.
Computer, what time is it?
2:45.
Computer, tell me a joke.
Knock knock.
Computer, who's there? Computer, who's there?
Elsie.
Computer, Elsie who?
Elsie you later, alligator.
Even at the best of times, conversing with computers can be clumsy, even irritating. But a new collaborative effort funded by the European Commission and involving several research institutions across Europe is trying to change this. Dr. Elsten Oss is the project coordinator of the Conversational Multimodal Interaction with Computers project, or COMIC for short.
Computers in the future should react as human-like as possible, because now it's a bit stupid. You, as a user, inputs information or text or things, and you get some answers back, and that's it, mainly. And in the future, we really want to have computers which are reacting to not only to typing in or mouse clicks, but also to your speech and gestures and your facial expressions, really like a human being does. You should be able to react in a natural way. The computers of the future should also be able to negotiate with you, to help you, to give suggestions, really be understanding human-like agents that will really help you in your daily life.
The key to getting computers to act more like humans and respond to natural human conversation is through a multimodal interface. In this initial project, that means the computer must be able to make judgments based on a variety of normal human behaviours, including speech, writing, and gestures, rather than just a keyboard and a mouse. And the output will be a graphic of a human face on the screen, providing natural-sounding conversation, complete with facial expressions. Much of this technology already exists, such as speech and gesture recognition software. But the challenge is to get them all to work together, and to work smarter, so that they understand not just what we say, but how we say it.
For example, you know as a human being that when I hesitate or when I have long pauses or when I repeat myself very often, that you have to react on this. Maybe you know, you say something, okay, shall I repeat what I said or do you understand? And actually computers should do this too in the future. And so for example, if you are dealing with a computer and you start hesitating, it should say, okay, shall I help you? Shall I give you some suggestions? Shall I show you something else? Something like that. So the speech recognition part should be more natural than they are now. But this also holds for pen and gesture recognizers that now are maybe also a bit strict and should be able, for example, to distinguish automatically between drawing and handwriting, which sounds very easy for you maybe because you know it when you see it. But for a computer to distinguish automatically, it's really difficult.
Taking into account more and more factors like the user's tone of voice or the intensity of their gestures could give the computer even more information about the user's state of mind. But for computers to accurately mimic natural human conversation and behaviour, we need first of all to know exactly what natural human interaction is. So a major part of the project is fundamental research into how us humans actually behave.
So if we go like this, that might be the most equitable.
I think that is, because...
But then, of course, I'm getting screwed again.
Why?
Because
you got the first one?
Yeah, but then...
In this laboratory at the Max Planck Institute for Psycholinguistics in Nijmegen, the Netherlands, two human subjects have been given a complex negotiation task. They have a map and have to convince each other of the best route to drive across town, each of them with different objectives along the way. Four cameras are recording their every twitch.
Okay, so what's the... If we end here, what's the fastest way back?
Okay, well, she was just touching her nose, and he said, which is an indication that he's thinking, but he's still about to say something.
Senior researcher Jan-Peter de Rauter is analysing the interaction.
Up to blue. Intermediate space.
I'm looking for, first of all, of course, what they say, what they do, what they propose, what they reject, and how they do the negotiation, which is the most important part, which is what they actually say. But almost as important is their nonverbal behavior, as they call it. So things like how often do they look at each other, avoid each other's eyes, move forward, raise their eyebrows, clean their glasses. You know, all the things you're watching at politicians do when they give speeches. So everything except what they say. And how this affects and changes their communication.
So what do you do now? You've got all this data of all these people playing these games and interacting with each other. To what detail do you analyze the data?
Well, we basically analyze everything that we can see. So, you know, it's humanly possible to code. So things like smiles, things like eye movements, facial movements, like brows up if they don't understand something. We try to code everything. And then do some massive analysis on, and if we see if we find patterns of human behavior that look natural. I mean, these people are behaving natural by definition.
And so how will that translate into a computer simulation of a human being or a computer representation of a human being?
And the computer model will never be perfect, but it's possible to put in certain rules, like if you don't understand something, raise your eyebrows. But don't do it every time because it looks silly, you know. Blink every now and then with your eyes. We can tell the computer basically everything. The point is we have to know what we have to tell it. So when to look, when not to look, when to nod, when to say ha-ha. What it does with its face, what it does with pauses, with arm and arm, as I just did. These are all things that we can sort of statistically score and translate into procedures that are fed into a computer, which hopefully will result in a computer displaying natural behavior, or at least behavior that we experience as being natural.
Why would you want to do that? Why does a computer need to act naturally?
Certainly, the idea, of course, I mean, the optimistic idea behind natural interaction is people feel more at ease and are able to do what they always do with humans. So they don't have to adapt to the computer. The thing here is to let the computer adapt to human beings. And, I mean, it's plausible, but very hard to realize. This is what we're working on.
What are some of the most difficult things to teach a computer to do when they're having a conversation with humans?
Well, what many people do not realize while they're having conversations in their lives is that humans are very good at turn-taking. Turn-taking is like you speak, then I speak, then you speak, then I. I mean, we take turns, literally, in speaking. And the most amazing feat that human beings can do when they communicate is predict when the other person is going to stop speaking so that they can say something themselves. And computers are notoriously bad at that because the only way they can find out that they can say something is if several, say, seconds of silence have passed, which of course makes the interaction look very unnatural and clumsy. So one of the things I'm trying to do with all these data is to find out how a computer could predict when the human is going to be finished speaking, so that then the computer can either say ha-ha, reply to a question, or it knows when it can interrupt and remain polite at the same time.
The Comic Project is one of the first steps towards what's known as ambient intelligence, a buzzword that has the major technology companies all excited. Put simply, ambient intelligence is technology built into our surroundings that can make decisions on how to react by observing everyday situations, without having to get direct input from the user. Dr. Els Den Os.
Now let's say that in the future, let's say 2010, some people already think that there will be no keyboards and mouse anymore. You are reacting to your computer by speech and by gesture, pen gestures, or gesturing with your hands. And computers will know you, know where you are, and know what you want, and also know what emotional state you are in by all kinds of sensors for heartbeat or skin pressure and things like that. And they will react to you accordingly. So, for example, if you're very aroused and you're very angry, the computer will stop and be quiet because of risking that it gets hurt or something like that. But also when you have been quiet and sitting in your room and there's no reason for the computer to think that you have are aroused or things like that, he can say, for example, shall I put up some music for you, or shall we, what type of music do you want to hear? This is just an example for in-house use. We are not yet there, but we are getting there.
But ambient intelligence is coming whether you're ready or not, and we humans will have to decide exactly how human-like we're comfortable with computers being, and how much we are happy for computers to observe about us and our emotional state. Dan Hurst, DW Radio, Nijmegen, the Netherlands.